On the 4th of January each year, thousands of people around the world celebrate World Braille Day. This is not just an excuse to celebrate the format that allows some blind and partially sighted people to read with our fingers instead of our ears or eyes, but also to recognise the vital role that Braille has played over the last 200 years in developing independence and opportunities for blind and partially sighted people. This year, 2023, we are celebrating World Braille Day here at RNIB with some special guests who will be sharing what Braille means to them and the role that Braille plays today and in the future. A very warm welcome to Robin Spinks, Christopher Patno and Mary Fernandez. Let's just go around each of you and have you introduce yourselves. I'm going to start with you, Robin.
Hi everyone, so I'm Robin Spinks. I work as Head of Inclusive Design at RNIB. I'm a person with low vision, so I'm actually not a Braillist myself, but it's really important to me and my life, and I see myself as an advocate for Braille and the uniqueness that it offers for blind and partially sighted people. So, delighted to be here.
Mary.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Mary Fernandez. I work at Cisco Systems. I am the lead disability inclusion consultant, and I am blind. I read Braille, have been reading Braille since I was 7 years old, and it was one of the most transformative things that I was able to learn in my lifetime in order to do the things that I want to do.
And finally, Christopher.
Hi, my name is Christopher, and I lead accessibility and disability inclusion for EMEA, which is Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, for this little company called Google. You might have heard of us. And outside of my responsibilities here at Google, I also sit on the board of trustees for the American Foundation for the Blind. And through them and through my work at Google, though I'm sighted, I've developed a deep passion for making sure that blind technologies, Braille specifically, is available in our and the training is there, the opportunities are there, and the technology meets the needs for people all over the world.
Robin, given that most blind and partially sighted people can access information using audio or large print, why do you think Braille still matters in 2023? What's Braille's unique selling point for you?
I was having a chat about this actually a little bit earlier on, and my wife is a Braillist and also works as a journalist, and I was just sounding her out about my own thoughts, and we came to the conclusion that the USP of Braille is that it does not require any software or hardware or power. Typically, you just touch it and you've got the information, and that makes it completely unique. So if you've got hard copy Braille, you can just touch it and have that information under your fingers, in the same way that a sighted person might have information in front of their eyeballs. So it's instant. And I think particularly when we come to talk about education and employment, but not exclusively, I think that characteristic probably shines through as something that's super helpful and really immediate for people. You know, if you think about it, that's so different from using, for example, a laptop with a screen reader. And that's not to discredit the use of a screen reader. Screen readers are fabulous things. But imagine, you know, in an employment situation where you need to have a very focused and intense interaction with someone, and you need to have maybe a set of figures, or maybe you need to have a set of facts under your fingers so that you can respond really sharply and in the same way that everyone else would. And you're not leveraging a piece of technology to make that happen. So it's that instantaneous nature of touching and the immediacy of the medium, I think, feels like it's a really important thing. And you know what? It will continue to be in the future. I think there's a perception in some quarters that Braille is perhaps an outdated technology. And that's one of the things we can set the record straight on here. It's part of the modern communication continuum.
Mary, thinking about working and learning and leisure, as an advocate for accessibility and inclusion, what are some of the practical advantages that Braille brings to your life?
Yeah, I want to build up on what Robin was saying a bit. You know, I think this idea that Braille will become outdated or is outdated. I would say that the day that Braille becomes outdated is the day that print becomes outdated. It is a form of that we've chosen to represent information, the same way that we've chosen as humanity to represent information through the written word, right? And so we're just creating that in a way that gives us access when you can't access the written word, but it is the same equivalent. So I think that thinking about it from that perspective of this is not something that is quaint and cute, it's going to go away. Well, unless the written word goes away, Braille shouldn't go away. And from a practical everyday perspective, you know, I think about I was born in Colombia and I did not go to school in Colombia because they did not know how to teach blind children. And so I was illiterate until I came to the U.S. and started learning Braille. And so Braille is just access to information. It's access to books, which give you access to the whole world. In my view, when you are able to read, you all of a sudden have access to the world, both from, you know, and in the day-to-day, being able to do presentations in the ways that make more sense to me, whether that's listening to my PowerPoints or being able to read them on my Braille display, being able to read the hotel room that I'm like passing by so that I know where I'm going, signage, anything like that, anything that is information that I need to get. If I can get it under my fingers, that's the best way for me to get it. So that's, I think, from the practical perspective, Braille is as practical as print is practical.
What you both said reminds me of the expression that everybody uses is to have information at the tips of your fingers. It's truly literal in this case.
It is. And Christopher, let's come to you then. Tell us a little bit about Google's Accessible Discovery Center and why Braille products are exhibited there.
Well, we at Google recognize that the value and the importance of being able to read and write Braille being a key to independence and job opportunities for people all over the world. And as Google, we've been really, in particular in Android over the past couple of years, have been really investing in Braille. Our Chrome platform is quite robust, but our Android platform has really come a long way in the past couple of years. In 2020, we added a soft Braille keyboard that you could tap on the screen and enter in Braille. In 2022, oh so long ago, we added Braille support into TalkBack so that you no longer need BrailleBack to be able to use Braille on your Android device. And looking into the future, we're working on adding more languages, more tables, increasing the usability, etc. So as a company, Google recognizes the value and the importance of Braille. But in the ADC, we wanted to highlight it because it's such an important part of the technology. The ADC was designed for sort of two audiences. One is for the Googlers, the people who work at Google who are building technologies, and they may not have any exposure to things like screen readers or Braille displays. So it's critically important that we have Braille displays. And thanks to a collaboration with the Kilimanjaro Trust out in Kenya, we actually have a Braille an Orbit 20 as the current display. We'll have a couple more over the next couple of months. So we have different ways of demonstrating and showing people how Braille works, because it's just as important to make sure that things work well in Braille as it does for the screen readers that we support. We also have in the ADC Braille on all of our signs. We have tactile maps for so you understand, so you can have a contextual awareness of what's going on. But the thing that I'm really proud of, I think it's really cute. A lot of people, because the other half of the audience that we support are people who are learning about disability as a topic in and of itself. So because we're in King's Cross, we have a little Harry Potter corner where we have, as an example, a couple of the wands, like Harry's wand and Voldemort's wands. And so you can feel what they're like. And we have different kind of Harry Potter-ish things, but we also have a print of, a copy of the story of Philosopher's Stone in print, but we also have it in Braille. And I swear, without exception, people are amazed by the size and the breadth, how something in Braille is compared to something in print. And that when I give them a chance to open it and put their fingers on it, they really get a chance to understand how different it is and how important it is that it gets supported.
Robin Spinks, you often deliver a presentation which starts with a narrative around the Victorian charity and Silicon Valley. So let's bring it back to RNIB. And how would you describe RNIB's commitment to Braille literacy? Just share some of the products and services in which RNIB is investing.
Yeah, I think in many ways, Dave, RNIB is the home of Braille. You know, if you trace back the history of the development of Braille and how that's actually become prolific around, certainly around Europe and further afield, you've noticed a long history of RNIB not only supporting Braille, but also producing it. So, you know, having the largest collection of material on blindness and partial sight in Europe, that's actually housed at RNIB in terms of research and reference material. But much more than that, also working with commercial companies to produce Braille, hard copy Braille for banks and building societies and utility companies and retailers, really anything that any company requires in hard copy Braille for its customers, we're able to actually produce that and also to then mail it out direct to the customer. So we do that for many big well-known brands, and we continue to expand that area. We've also invested heavily in the production facility for high quality, high yield output commercial Braille production at our facilities in Gateshead, and we continue to develop that. But also on the consumer side, we've worked closely with the Braillist Foundation and other groups that are promoting the use of Braille, really to make sure that there's a greater awareness of how people can maybe get started learning Braille if they've not used it up until now, but they're losing their sight and they're feeling like this could be a really important bridge for them to start out on. But also, you know, we worked with organisations all around the world to bring about the Orbit Braille display. And that was really about recognising the fact that the cost of electronic Braille displays was extremely high, several thousand pounds. And by working with organisations around the world to leverage the capability that we had for manufacturing things differently, but also making something much more affordable, we were able to drastically reduce the unit cost for electronic Braille displays. So I guess, you know, that sticks out as a longer term move that we've undertaken, really to try and reposition it and to say that it's part of that modern communications continuum. It's something that I think, as Chris mentioned earlier, you know, companies like Google take Braille seriously and are building it into products. They're continuing to invest, and we continue to see Braille being supported, but in particular being supported as this new flexible electronic medium as we go forward. And I'm sure it is the case that in time we might see a reduction in the amount of hard copy Braille being developed, but that will be hand in hand with an increased availability of electronic Braille and the kind of devices that, you know, you might carry yourself, Dave, you know, something that you can get into a coat pocket, it Bluetooths with your phone, and instantly you've got a portal to, you know, an infinite amount of information.
Yeah, for me, Braille is obviously about much more than just the obvious things of spelling, punctuation, literacy. It's about social inclusion, you know, being able to free your ears to hear the people and the environment around you. Also, for me as a dad, I remember fondly reading the bedtime story with my son when he was younger. What can we do to raise awareness of Braille and electronic Braille, I think, in particular, because clearly, you know, that's the future and the opportunities that it offers. How can anyone become a Braille ally?
So I think, you know, when we think about inclusion in general and what it means to be an ally, I think what we really need to focus on is what is the community saying? How do we continually center the voices of the communities that we serve? And so for Braille users and people who use Braille, it's like, what is it that we need, right? And I think one of the things that, for me, that I keep thinking that, because I think there's always this idea of like, we are fading out hard copy Braille, which is all well and good. I'm a singer, I'm a musician, and there's nothing more frustrating than trying to read Braille music on a Braille display that is a single line, because you can only see a single line at a time and you don't know where the words are and you don't know where the notes are going. And so as an advocate, and like one of the things that I think we're hearing is we need more Braille. If it's going to be electronic, then make it more. We need the equivalent, right? What does that truly look like? Because we haven't expected people with vision to move into a world where you can only see one line of print at a time, where you can only see a tiny piece of the picture at a time. iPads were not made so that you can only see, you know, like, oh, you can only see this little part, you can't see the rest of it. So as we think about how do we continually increase displays and screens and how much information we can fit into it and how people are able to customize it, I think as technology improves and as we think about the future as allies, we really should be pushing the imagination of like, what would that look like for people who are using tactile to see and to be able to have that same experience of being able to customize and not to be forced to have just one tiny piece of the puzzle. So yes, I think electronic Braille offers a great opportunity to put more Braille under more fingers. And also, how do we make sure that that doesn't become a limitation of sorts in its own way?
Mm. And elevating the voices of Braille readers and building, you know, Braille in as a core part of the system, which is obviously what Google are doing now with TalkBack, including Braille right in there. Chris, what's the best way to learn more about the Accessibility Discovery Center and Google's commitment to accessibility and inclusion?
Yeah, I think the easiest places to go are google.com/accessibility for sort of a high-level view of the different products that we have, the different features. If you want to go more into depth, like how do I do X, then you want to go to support.google.com/accessibility. These are just generic places. They have information about all aspects of disability inclusion, of accessibility, but they have some really great resources, especially for things like workspace. If you want to know how to use Google Docs better or Calendar better, go to the support.google.com/accessibility. And if you're in the London area, you can come and have a tour. We're just in the process of understanding how many tours we need to give on a weekly basis. But if you reach out to us at adclondon@google.com, you'll be connected to me and my core team, and we'll try and get something scheduled up as quickly as we can.
For anyone who feels Braille could add value in their life, how or where should they go? How do we get started with Braille?
I'm going to suggest that first up, what you could do is contact RNIB's helpline. That's 0303 123 9999. That's the number for the helpline here in the UK. You can also, of course, go to the website, rnib.org.uk. And then also, there's a great organisation called the Braillists Foundation as well that I was going to suggest people might wish to get in touch with. And I'm sure, Dave, you're going to mention a bit more about that.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, offering peer support for Braille learners over at braillists.org. So, let's just bring this to a close then, and I just want to kind of go around each of you and sort of get a sense of why do you think Braille will continue to play an important role in access to information and communication. Let's start with you, Mary.
Yeah, I think it will continue to play a role as long as we use print and the written word to communicate with each other. I think that Braille is going to be relevant.
I think Braille and the ability to be as precise. You mentioned earlier the ability for punctuation and grammar. Mm-hmm. The more people understand language, and Braille is a tool to understand and manipulate language, the farther people will go in terms of industry. So I think from an education and work perspective, it is key to people to be able to go as far as they want in terms of education and work.
Right, working with some of those STEM subjects, you know, we hear about the role of Braille in coding. You know, when I talk to blind computer programmers, many of them would cite Braille as being a key tool that they would bring to bear when editing their code. So, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Robin, a final thought from you?
Well, my four-year-old son, Arlo, reminded me of the fact that daddy can't read with the lights off, but mummy
Oh, I
can,
love it.
right? I think there's an awful lot in there. And then I also, Britain's first blind black female barrister, Jessica Inaba, who has featured in some press recently, she said something incredibly profound. So she said, as a barrister, you can't really have a screen reader babbling into your ear when you're in a courtroom and you're in a tense, serious situation. Braille is the medium that actually allows you to have those facts underneath your fingertips so that you can communicate in the same way as everyone else. So, there's two little anecdotes, both very different, but I think, those speak volumes for me, and I continue to see every single day applications for Braille that tell me that it's got a really powerful and important role into the future. And actually, you know what? Many, many more people really ought to be using it because it's a fantastic way to communicate.
Yeah, such an important medium, and obviously works in situations where maybe, you're in a noisy environment and audio is difficult to hear, or perhaps you're in a very quiet environment where audio may feel intrusive. And I think as blind and partially sighted people, we need more choices about how we access information. No one format rules them all. So I love audio, use it a lot, but also Braille is vital too. Well, Mary Fernandez, Christopher Patno, Robin Spinks, happy World Braille Day. Thank you so much, and look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you
You.
all.
Cheers.